All right. Get you one of the Bibles. Turn to page 78, or if you got your own Bible, it'll be Luke chapter 12. Tonight we want to talk about, I want to share with you a tale of a non-tither. Anybody know what tithe means? Anybody familiar with that, right? It's the tenth, right? That's tithe means tenth. All right, and we're not going to pass the plate, so don't get scared. We're going to talk about it from a whole different angle. Luke chapter 12, well, let me say this. You know, I don't have to tell you we live in a greedy society. I mean, it's all about me now, right? And what I get out of it. And I've shared this before. I've been in meetings and all over the country recruiting workers for truck stop ministries. And one pastor looked square at me and said, "What's in it for me?" Just like that. And that just blew me away. That some, I know people think it. We think it, don't we? Come on. Yeah, what am I going to get out of this? I mean, whatever it is, where it's a load on the truck or whatever, a relationship or whatever. But I guess he had enough nerve just to ask, what's in it for me? And that went downhill pretty fast. But anyway, Peter here speaks first and thinks later. That's not a good plan. And really and truly, if it ain't all about God, it ain't going to work. Amen. From your life, from your I tell you, from experience and what the Word of God says, if it ain't about Him, there's a song that says, "It's all about you, Lord." And that's the way we should live. Our companies, our businesses, our job, our family, really, give it all to Him, right? How many have used the term, "I gave my life to Christ"? Right? Some Christians use that term. And really, that's what we're supposed to do. But is that just a statement? Well, let's read here an example of a person who wasn't about to give anybody anything. Have you met somebody like that? I mean, they're just not going to give anybody anything. Luke 12, verse 16 says, "Then one from the crowd said to him," of course, he's talking about Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And then he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, that was groundwork here. This is a parable. Anybody know what a parable is? We're supposed to be in Luke 12, verse 16. Is that not right? All right, go there. Did I give you the wrong page number?
We're there.
We're there. You're not.
Oh, okay.
You started at 13, I think, didn't you?
Might have. Yes, I started at 13. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
We were being nice.
You were being nice. You were going to act like I was doing right, right? Nice. You started at 16, right?
Nice is now over.
And Lee's the one who took all the medication. I didn't. Then he spoke a parable. Are we together there?
Yeah.
All right. And we know what a parable is, right? It's an illustration. Jesus used a lot of illustration. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down the barns and build greater, and there I will store all of my crops and all of my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Huh. We hear that today. But what did God say to him in verse 20? What did God call him? You don't find that anywhere else. That God calls somebody a fool. That's pretty strong. This God of love, right? And He is. But He's also a God of wrath. He's also a very jealous God. He said, "I'll have no other God before me." This man just built a God out there with his stuff. Now, before we point too many fingers, we better be careful. that we haven't done the same thing. You say, oh, well, I tithe, I give. You know, a lot of people don't have any problem with that, with money. We have a story in Acts chapter 3 of the crippled man sitting at the temple gate begging money, right? Sat there his whole life. That's where he'd been. And you know the story. Peter and John come along, and of course he probably held his cup out, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But what did he say? But such as I have, give I unto thee. The man didn't need money. The church was going by every day. Now I'm talking about the church, that's us. Not the building, that's us. Okay? The church is no better than I am. And that makes it pretty weak. It really, the weakest link. That's the church. The church was going by this guy and dropping money in his cup, feeling good about it. I helped old Joe today. Give him an extra $5. He's there next Sunday. He didn't need money. What did he need? He needed healing, right? He needed healing. He needed somebody's time. That's what we want to talk about this evening. And compared to this guy, it was his crops, his goods, his stuff. But sometimes somebody just needs some of our time. A kind word, right? Loving, whatever. And y'all are in the position to do it. Well, drop back to page 68. I think that one's right. Luke 6, 38. Now, we've shared this many, many times. I want you to look at Luke 6, 38, just to make sure it's there. One of the first times I spoke in my home church many, many, many years ago, I gave them the wrong scripture, but they was nice. They didn't say nothing until afterwards. They went to where it was supposed to be. Stupid computer. Blame it. Luke 6:38 says, and this is primarily used a lot of time talking about tithing or sowing and reaping, but it says what? Give and it shall be given. Given it, whatever it is, it's what you're going to get back. What? A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. My question to myself is, this that I'm giving out, whatever this is, do I really want that back? Am I putting stuff out that I want back? Because I'm going to get it. That's the law. You can be a devout atheist, that works. God's laws govern everybody. Not only us as born-again Christians. Among the laws that he put out was what we call the law of sowing and reaping. Turn to 193 right quick. You can sow and still not get real good results. When Jan and I first got saved in 1971, I was blessed. I was extremely blessed because I hear a lot of you talk about, you know, one is saved and wanting to serve the Lord, the other spouse doesn't. I mean, we see that, right? But that's something I don't take for granted, that both of us are serving the Lord. Because we've had a lot of friends over the years. I know one guy that his salvation cost him millions of dollars, literally. And if I called his name, every driver here would know who it was. And he still stood firm. Because they were living a lifestyle, like a lot of us, that thought PTA was party time already. I mean, acid rock, and he was a lot further along than I was because of the amount of money. He could party more than I could, but anyway. He got saved. This guy, God did 180 on. In fact, me and another driver, I almost told you who it was. We stopped at his place of business. And he come bouncing in, sit down beside me, and started bubbling over about Jesus. And I thought, what is he on now? I mean, he was like, you know, just bubbling over with joy. Well, it turned out, but long story short, his wife said no. And I'm not criticizing her, please understand. That's her choice. But she took him to the cleaners. Millions of dollars. And the last time I saw him, he was rejoicing in the Lord. Lost the business, lost everything. He was still rejoicing. My question in my mind is, what would we really do if all the stuff were gone? We say everything's going to be all right. But sometimes, let me get back to my subject. Got away there. I just like to meet people sometimes that really mean what they say. Amen? I don't like to have to be tested, but it's come. It'll come your way too, sooner or later. You'll get the chance to stand true to God or not. Oh yeah, I want to warn you. But the good part is, he rewards you. Remember the story of Job? This ain't even close to what I have. Remember the story of Job? Gosh, lost everything. Lost all of his children at the same day. Wow. I told God the other day, by the way, my name is J-O-E. Not J-O-B, it's J-O-E. In case you got it mixed up. But we haven't seen nothing inside of what that guy did. And that's not a parable, by the way. That's fact. But in the end, if you read the last chapter of that book, amen, he received twice what he had. You remember that? We will receive much more than we ever dreamed possible one day. One day. We'll get out of this mess. We'll get out of this rat race. And whatever we have here don't compare to what we got coming. So when the Lord wants me to do something, if the Lord wants me to stop what I'm doing and just listen to somebody sometime, just give them time. Just give them my time. Are you at page 193, 2 Corinthians 9? When we plant, when we sow, when we give, we got to use the right fertilizer. I'm from South Georgia, you could tell pretty quick. In fact, just the other day I was out there, my grandson and I had a ball, he's six. We were putting 10, 10, 10 under the pecan trees, you know. And I don't know if you know that, but with a fruit tree, you go all the way out as far as the limbs are. I don't know why, but that's what they told me. So I'm way out here, away from the tree. He said, "Granddaddy, what are you putting it way out there for?" Got to have the right fertilizer so we'll have... I said, "You like pecan?" "Yes, sir." This is how we get pecan. We use the right fertilizer that time of the year. The right fertilizer for blessings from God is found in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 8, where he says, "But I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Now, so let each one, now we know the tithe is the law, but I want to show you what Jesus said about it, okay, through the Apostle Paul. So let each one give as he has purposed in his heart, not how? Not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loves a grouch. No, what does he love? Cheerful. Now, Chaplain Joe, I give to my church. I don't have any problem with that. And we got people who give to this ministry regularly. And, I don't have any problem with that. What if God says, hold up, in the middle of your busy day, here's a person that needs your time. I got to go. That's my famous line from driving a truck 20 years. Got to go. What's really important? What's really important? The man I drove for last, and I can say this because the company don't exist anymore, and he passed away. He cussed every breath, used God's name in vain as sure as he opened his mouth, and sat and looked across his desk at me and said what I was doing was more important than the company. He said, "Bud, if you need to stop and do that," I was talking about witnessing, He said, if you need to stop and do that, you should take all the time you want. He said, if they want you there at 8 o'clock and you show up at 12, they ought to be more happy to see you. Inadvertently, he had put God first. Why was God blessing him? He put God first. Now, he won't get to heaven that way, unfortunately, right? He still got to be born again. So God, I don't know about you, but he seems to pick my busiest day and say, hold it. Say, what? I've got 6 projects going on here. Hold it. Even if it's time just to pray.
You've got 6 projects. God only had one.
That's right. Exactly right. All my 6 projects don't mean nothing. And they'll all get done, I found out. I'm learning. If I just say, okay, God, what's up? Let's go back to our story now of the rich man. Because it wasn't just about money in his case, but rather his crops, his stuff. Again, in our case, it can be our time. How do you spend your restart time? I wouldn't even know how to log now, by the way. I'd have it's been a long time, but I hear you talking about, what, a 34-hour restart? Is that the right term? Where you sit still for 34 hours? I'm thinking, wow. Now think about this. Don't answer. What do you do during those 34 hours? You don't sleep for 34 hours. I don't think that'd be possible. Now, God planted you. Think about this now. You know where you're going to, before you get to that point, you know where you're going to take those hours, right? I mean, you kind of plan what truck stop or what city or whatever, right? So you know that, more or less. You know how much time you need to sleep. You know how much time you need for shower, laundry, whatever. What are you doing with the rest of the time? Well, I'm not a preacher. I beg your pardon. Take the pee off the front. What is it? Reacher. We're all reachers. And by the way, you're reaching people with something. And we don't have any problem talking about what we like, be it football, be it fishing, be it truck driving, be it racing lawnmowers. If you don't know about racing lawnmowers, ask that couple in the back. But we can take any of that conversation and turn it into a witness for God. I love sitting at the counter in the truck stop when I have the time and get in a conversation. Our director of ministry development, he says he likes to get set at the counter and talk to the one the furthest away, intentionally. Ain't that hard. Start a conversation with the guy over yonder or the lady over yonder. Well, guess what? Everybody's listening. Now, it's okay if they're in there cursing and using profanity and all that. You ain't supposed to say nothing. Can't we say something about Jesus the same way? What did he say, by the way? Somebody tell me what he said about if we're ashamed of him before people. Exactly. I don't know about you, but I can't afford that. I can't afford that. I hate to say it, but back when we were doing dope, I didn't hide it. Thought I was proud. What an idiot. I mean, what an idiot, okay? And then I got saved, and people think I'm not supposed to say nothing. I beg your pardon. CB means Christian Broadcasting. And no, I won't turn it off. Now, I'm not going to get on there and preach. I don't key the mic and play music. That makes people mad. But when somebody uses my father's name, they just invited me in the conversation. I can pretty well stay quiet till then. Just say, God's last name is not damn. Shut up preaching. I didn't know I did. I told one guy one night, I was still driving, and of course he had the misfortune of going the same direction I was. And with Mr. Brand's truck, he wasn't going to outrun me. That's for sure. Get in the flesh sometime, okay? Just a little. And he told me to shut up preaching on the CB. And I said, well, when you stop preaching, I'll stop preaching. I'm not preaching. I said, well, you use G-O-D in your conversation. I use G-O-D in mine, and you tell me I'm preaching. So who's preaching here? Got him so confused, he didn't know what he said. I wish you'd just go on. I said, I am right behind you. As long as you go it. I like to witness. I like to tell people about Jesus. And yes, some of them come back at you. That's okay. That's expected. That's expected. But do we love them enough to do that anyway? I don't like to hear the garbage, but I can't turn it off. Unfortunately, I committed to get on the ramp the other day. This black truck has a Connex 33 in it, so it'll reach out and touch someone. But by the time the conversation started, I committed to go north on the interstate, and I said, dog, I wish I could turn around and go back, because they were jumping into it. And I'm not criticizing. I just want to tell them about Jesus that loves them, okay? Give them our time. Blessings from God need to be shared. The greatest message ever preached is Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. If you can say, I know, if you can say that I know Jesus loves me, meaning you're born again, then you got something to tell the whole world that they need to know. But we don't do it because of ridicule or whatever. We want to, you know, just, what's that old saying? Don't get involved. Well, I got news for you. I can't. Be it bucket mouth or whatever. So think about it as you go along. Turn to page 35. Matthew 28. And what is it, somewhere around verse 19, I think it is. 18, 19, something like that. I didn't write that down. I want to show you something. I want to give you your commission, your calling into the ministry. How many have ever heard of a pastor or evangelist talk about when they were called into the ministry? Right? Well, guess what? When you were born again, you received a calling. You did. Right here in verse 19. Okay. Go therefore and make disciples of all the truckers. That's what's in mine. I wrote it there. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you most of the time.
Always.
Go. I said this the other day, used the same scripture last week, I think it was. Truck drivers don't have a problem with the going part, right? You're always going. You're always going somewhere. Pray before you get to your destination to the consignee and ask the Lord to give you something to say to somebody there. I'm not talking about walk up and preach a message to them. Just say something. Wear a Christian t-shirt or baseball cap or something. Start an argument. I mean a conversation. No, I don't mean argue really. Just let them know. That calling was to the disciples, right? And all the followers he had then, that was not at a seminary. I assure you, that was not a group of seminary graduates. In fact, I've said many times, turn to page 124, by the way. I've said many times that if you looked at God's dream team, none of them would be able to join no church I know of. They'd get kicked out, right? Can you imagine that group? Good Lord of mercy. John, Peter, old smelly fisherman, right?
Well, you talk about being
By the way, that's his C.B. Hanel fisherman. So he is Smith. No. Bunch of misfits.
Mass murder.
Yeah. If he can do that. Are you at Acts 1 and 8? Page 124. I'm sorry, did I give you that? 125? Acts 1 and 8? Well, first of all, we got the calling. We got the commissioning in Matthew. Acts empowers us. God never calls you to do something without empowering you. It'd be silly for the company to send you to pick up a load with no truck. Right? Go pick up trailer number 4512 and take it to Miami. Well, I don't have a truck. Well, that's your problem. What would you are you crazy? God's not going to send you to do anything without empowering you. And guess what? Do you realize as a born-again Christian that God lives in you? Holy Spirit, right? Think about that for a moment. The Bible says all the power of the Godhead body dwells in you. Whoa. And my grandchildren says, super cool. I like to think about that. But in Acts 1 and 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When does that happen? When does the Holy Spirit come in?
When you get saved.
That's right. When we're born again, right? He lives in all born again Christians, everyone. How many's heard the term filled with the Spirit? Right? That's okay. And I'm not so much interested in how much of the Holy Spirit you have. What I'm wondering about is how much of you does He have? Or how much of me does He have? Think about that. Am I willing to give Him my time? But He says you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come on you, and you shall be what? Witnesses to me where? Where'd they start?
Right where they were at.
Exactly. Our Jerusalem is the trucking industry, because that's where we are. You see, have you ever seen Dr. Stanley preaching at a truck stop? Or Billy Graham at a truck stop? Or any of our heroes in the Word? Okay, they're mine. No. Why? God didn't call them out here. Right? Guess what? He did us. Because He put us here. This is our Jerusalem. And quite honestly, it's an honor sometimes I fill in for our pastor. Used to. I like that. I like to be with our church, but not like this. And I'm not saying that because you're here. I'm just telling you the truth. I love it out here. I love to spend time out here because there's a need out here. And I have, without being boastful, I have what everybody needs. It's in this book. And the good part is the author of this book lives in me and in every born-again Christian. Now, just got a new laptop. Hallelujah. Just learned the last one. This thing is fast. I mean, I love it. I love my new laptop. But guess what? Until I gave it to our IT department and they put information in it, it wasn't worth nothing, was it? You could ask it for anything you want to. And it's going to say, are you crazy? No. You just wouldn't get nothing, right? Same thing with our spirit man. We're born again now. We're still living in the flesh. David brought this out this morning. We're still living in this flesh, but that Holy Spirit is living in here now, and He don't cohabitate with the enemy. That ain't going to happen, right? So we just start feeding that spirit that's in us now, the Word of God. That's the only thing He wants is this diet right here. My son now This blows my mind with technology. He's got it on his phone in about 16 versions. He's a freight hauler, so he's got plenty of time. He's not going to get a speeding ticket, that's for sure. But he said now he was started with the New Testament. He told me yesterday, oh, I'm so thankful to have this conversation yesterday. And he said, it would say prophecy, prophesied. Of course, he hadn't heard the Old Testament yet. He said, I decided to start all over, to start in Genesis. It's a good deal. And he's begun to share stuff that, my head got bigger and bigger and bigger. Because he's sharing it wherever he's going. Look what I found. You remember getting something, say a new car, your first new car, your first something really, really nice? You didn't show it to nobody, did you? Of course we did. I remember coming home from Vietnam and ordered me a little deuce coupe, I call it. Chevy 2. Novocaine, I call it. It put the Ford to sleep was my slogan. Well, some of them anyway. Boy, I wanted everybody to see my new car. But when I got my new life, what about then? Did I show that to everybody? Think about it. He commissioned us. He's empowered us. You say, well, I don't talk to people that well. By the way, David Owen here, is director of our missionary driver program. And if you're a born-again Christian on the road, you need to check that out, really and truly. We got something in here, right? Some kind of information. There you go. Take that with you. Just look at it and read it. But you might say, well, I can't just walk up and talk to somebody. Well, I got a place for you too. Because off of that, we're creating the 10-20 driver program. And you'll commit to that as a member of Truck Stop Ministries at 10:20 in the morning or 10:20 at night or both and just pray. Does anybody can pray? Well, yeah, everybody can pray. Doesn't matter whether it's out loud, carry, or silently. We may not feel comfortable praying in a crowd or out loud in front of somebody, but in your time in your truck. And I want to recruit you to give the time during your 34-hour restart, if nothing else, give God a little time and help us by simply praying for us. It won't cost you nothing. But now, in the book of Acts, right after what we read a while ago, Acts 1 and 8, over in Acts chapter 2, there was a group met in the upper room. Everybody remember that? What happened? There was, 120 approximately? I've been in that room, by the way. Who knows if that was the exact one, but boy, when I walked in there and just thought about it, whoa. Just think about it. What happened in this room. But now, there was about 120 people praying for what? The Holy Spirit to come. That's what Jesus told them to do. Stay there and pray until you're endued with power from on high and so on. Right? I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'll send you a comforter and all that. 120 people prayed, and look what happened. Now imagine with technology that we have today, what if we had 1,200 drivers or 12,000 drivers praying at 10:20 in the morning and or evening, right? For one thing. We're going to be a little selfish. I want you to pray for the needs of Truck Stop Ministry. You don't even have, you can have a list if you want to, but you don't have to. If you just pray for the needs. The needs include keeping this open 24 hours a day. So that whenever you come by, there's somebody here. That's our goal. We're in 79 places now. The Lord is open. We were talking earlier. The Lord has opened the door to many, many, many more. I don't want to say this in front of our bookkeeper. She's already close to a coronary. But what if your prayer turned that 79 into let's say conservatively 250. Because you prayed. Because you prayed. Go to our website, check us out, read what we believe and all that. Yes, that's what it's there for, so you can learn more about us. But now, for the ones that are, well, putting it nicely, not a bucket mouth like some of us, may not feel you can pray. Missionary Driver, that's another program I want you to check out. But you can at least join one of them too. We need you. And you can be a card-carrying, bona fide member of Truck Stop Ministries now. This is something we're starting this year. I've been asked for that for the last almost 30 years. And we decided to step out and do that for those that want to be. We're not soliciting members. We're not starting a church. But church organizations have advised me to go ahead with it. Want you to pray about that. So there's plenty for everybody to do. One is we need witnesses. Acts 1 and 8, you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Can't do that. I can't sing. I mean, I prove that every now and then. But just because I can't sing, I can't play a musical instrument, I can barely play a stereo. In fact, Truck Stop years ago, I said, I'm so musically inclined, this is all I can play. And I walked over to the jukebox, it didn't play nothing. Honest to God. And I said, well, that proved that point, didn't it? I can't even play that.
You got to put a quarter in first.
Oh, that's it. You got to put money in it. But no, seriously.
First off of that.
We all can do something for God.
Amen.
Now, you say, well, I'm not saved. I'm not a Christian. Or I don't know for sure I am. By the way, the answer, I hope I am, is not good. If you can't say, I know I am, then we need to talk. Not critically, we need to talk. Listen, eternity is too long to be wrong. Don't take a chance. In fact, turn to page 251. We can get that settled right now. I'm glad you asked. My mama, bless her heart, had a third grade education. We were literal cotton pickers. And thank God I don't have to pick cotton no more. Who was that song said, but I never pick cotton? I have. Yes, sir. My preschool, what do you call that? Anyway, mine was at the end of a cotton field in the edge of the woods. Well, my mama picked cotton. That's where I was at, on a cotton sheet in the woods. I didn't grow up too bad. Sometimes I wonder if we're getting... Well, that's another story. Page 251, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Anybody want to read that? If we confess our sin... Come on, go ahead.
Yes, please.
What's that first word?
Yeah.
That means it's my option. That means I have to do something. Every promise in God's word has a stipulation in front of it. You do this, I'll do that. No, it's not work. No. 100 times, no. You can't work enough to get salvation. You can't be good enough to get salvation. Thank God you can't buy it. Because with inflation, I wouldn't be able to afford it. Some millionaire would have it above my head. Right? We were talking about, Gene, we were talking about somebody you know just bought a brand new truck. 100 and what?
56,000.
For one truck? The one in the logo, I paid $40,000 for out of the showroom. Obviously a long time ago, right? That's a down payment now. But listen. 1 John 1 and 9, he gave us a promise. If we will just confess our sins, what will he do? He'll, one, forgive us, and
cleanse us
from what?
All unrighteousness.
I love it. And you don't have to itemize it because we ain't got that much time.
Probably can't remember half of it.
I know that's right. What I want to do is what I always do is I want to end with a prayer. I'm going to ask everybody in here to pray this prayer with me out loud, eyes open and heads up. And the reason I want you to do it that way is because we're all going to pray it together and only you and God will know who meant it. I'm not going to go around and take a poll. That's between you and God. But what I want to do is then you can walk out of here and say, I did what the Bible says to do to be saved. Of course, we know Romans 10, 9 and 10. You know, we got to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And, you know, how many believes that Jesus was God the Son? Everybody? Right? All right. How many believes he died on the cross? How many believes he rose from the dead? Good to go. The only thing left from that is confession. And we're going to do this in this little prayer. And if you mean it from your heart, if you're saying, boy, I wish I knew for sure. I'd really like to know for sure. You can. My mom, as I said, had what she called no-so salvation. I know. Folks, I know that better than I know I'm standing in this trailer. I know. When they were hooking me up in 2004 to do a heart ablation, and they were telling me all what could happen, I said, that's cool. I told the doctor, I said, if everything goes wrong, it's fine. It's real good. And he kind of laughed. I said, sir, my wife's sitting right out that door with a living will. Said, do not resuscitate me. Period. I said, and I'm tied down by then, I couldn't even wiggle. I said, if I get one foot in heaven and you bring me back, we're going to have a problem. I'm ready. Are you ready? Do you know? Oh, yes, I want to live and see my grandchildren more and have fun and do things. But when it's time, I know. If you'll pray this prayer from your heart tonight, you can know. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Forgive me for my wrongdoing. Thank you for your word. I believe your word. I receive your word. And I thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. And for forgiving my sin. I receive your forgiveness by faith based on your word. In Jesus' name. I am now a born again child of the Most High God. Amen. That almost make a Baptist shout just to think about that.